Welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, artistfirst.com. Tony K in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone worldwide. If you are an author, independent recorded artist, or have a great idea for a weekly show, we'd love to hear from you. Simply follow the links we've provided at artistfirst.com. Be sure to share all of our MP3 content to everyone you know on the social media network. And let's give a warm welcome to our guest this hour, Camilla Stein, author of Space Scrapers. To learn more about our guest, we've provided two links for your convenience at the Artist First homepage. And once the show is archived, you'll be able to share it with everyone you know. How do you do, Camilla?
Good evening. Thank you for having me. I am fine. And how do you do?
Wonderful. And thank you for supporting the arts on Artist First Radio. We have listeners from every nation on earth, and it's our great privilege to add you to the many that have come on Artist First Radio. Camilla, you have a very large heart. You're a humanitarian, you're a writer, an editor, and a creative person when it comes to filmography, and so many ventures. Thank you for spending this time with us to talk about how it all got started with this novel, Space Scrapers. It's a science fiction alien, yeah, so if you like this otherworldly material, you've come to the right place, folks. So if you have a young one in your family, you'll notice right away it's good for a rather younger age, 14 and older, I think, would really benefit from its content. Space Scrapers, it's a good read. Thank you for bringing it to our attention and for writing it. Now, somehow you've managed to find time in all of the many endeavors you're involved with to write this kind of a book. What gave you the impetus? What lit the spark?
Well, I've been into science fiction since I was a child. I read a lot of books, and I always kind of felt like, one day maybe I'll be able to write something of my own. And eventually, I just had so many stories in my head, and I felt like, this needs to get out, because it was just driving me crazy at some point, really a lot of things I would want to, put on paper and get it out of my system. But those were great kind of flash science fiction stories, and I had about a dozen of them, and I showed them to my literary agent, and she said, put it all together. And then we sat down together, and we thought, maybe that would be a nice idea to have recurrent characters and give them some boost, have them go through some adventures, and that's how it all, came about. I just continued writing about the same characters based on the stories that I had before, and that came into Space Scrapers.
This area of interest, I should say, in creatures of another world, it's been a preoccupation for a long time then.
It is, and it's such a fascinating thing to study and to just, fantasize about. Scientifically speaking, what do we know today? That there are some alien bacteria somewhere. That's all. That's what we can call life, evidence of life somewhere. Whenever we encounter, bacteria that are arsenic based, and then we think, oh, there might be arsenic based life forms. But that is not really supporting the idea that there are sentient living beings out there, and this is why science fiction exists. We can, let ourselves go, think about possibilities. There's no limit. Like, we say sky is the limit, but I'm saying universe has no limit.
Space Scrapers, what a great name, and we'll get to that later, audience. But for those listening worldwide, we invite you to visit the websites we've provided at our homepage, artistfirst.com. Tony K in the studio, just very excited to have Camilla Stein with us this hour. And questions, comments, please don't direct them toward me. Send them to our guest, and she'd be happy to talk to you. Blogs and so forth, Twitter, all of the social network sites available for our listeners. Camilla Stein, yes. Thank you.
That would be awesome, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you're connected. You're right in with where the media has to be on the web today. And this idea of aliens and this passion for the topic is a global phenomenon. It's not limited to Western civilization by any means.
No, it's actually everywhere. And speaking of skyscrapers, this is a product of science fiction, but it's also it's also written from the international standpoint. It's the characters they come from different backgrounds, they live in different countries, and they have different cultural identities, but they all come together because they believe in the same thing, and they explore the same thing, they dream about the same thing, and I hope it's the reflection of who we are, the human race, and that's why I actually wrote this book.
We're moving ever closer to a universal consciousness where we all are impacted worldwide by events in a moment.
True.
So this idea of exploring alien worlds, it's not so alien anymore.
No, I don't think so. I think it's pretty easy to imagine ourselves, packing our bags and flying or somewhere on an alien planet that is not so alien, like you said. We just landed on Mars. I mean, okay, robotically, but we did. So in a manner of speaking, it's just a matter of time and some more technological investment. And then we'll find a place where we can, breathe the air of a planet that is not alien anymore.
Well, yeah, we spend billions, if not trillions, of dollars probing the universe and looking for the possibility of alien life of any form. And yet, the common folk of planet Earth on a regular basis all over the globe, oh, look, there's saucer. Oh, look, there's something unexplained. So there,
yeah,
right there. It's there's a huge disconnect, it seems, from the technology that we're using to locate life versus what others here on Earth already claim to have seen.
There's been a lot of speculation about UFOs and everything, but I would not want to speculate about and claim any knowledge to that. But I think everybody has their own unique experience, and whoever chooses to either acknowledge or reject the existence of alien life forms, it's their own decision. I will stick with science fiction for as long as I can, until there's some more scientific basis to support the theory of UFO, and then we'll just move on from there.
Kindle, Amazon, the book is available all over the World Wide Web.
Yes.
You can have it as an e-book. There's a great book trailer.
Also as a paperback, yes. It's also available as a paperback, but there's no book trailer. There's a website, a blog, dedicated specifically to skyscrapers, which tells you the story behind the book. It tells you about the characters in more depth. There are excerpts there. It's a WordPress blog. It's called Skyscrapers. And there are some images there. I actually have real star charts there. I have galaxies and stars, to just map so that the reader can get the idea of what is in this story, where is everything happening, the setting. And only two locations are fictional. Everything else is real.
Camilla, what period of time did these 25 stories originally cover in your life?
In my life? Well, that's recent. That's since 2008.
So it's been your preoccupation anyway now for 4 or 5 years.
About that time, yeah.
And then when you were invited to say, hey, boy, you've got some stories here, let's put them into a book, How much more time did that require? Another year?
1 year.
Another year to put, and then now the finished manuscript that you've decided on the cover work, you have, what, another 6 months into that?
I designed my own cover, and I was working on it simultaneously. I was writing and putting the manuscript together and editing and working with my editor on on rebuilding it. And then I also, together with that, I designed the cover because that was the source of inspiration. I couldn't continue with the book without seeing, without having the cover in front of me. I had it on my desktop, fully fledged and just looking at me for 4 months. Before the book came out.
Wow. You know, having that visual effect, you were creating that, of course, all along in inventing your characters and this foreign planet and what the aliens would be like. And they're very different from what we would expect. And that makes it an interesting science fiction book. Thank you for making such an exciting contribution. And as you said, the characters and the scenes are all expandable. This could end up a series on television.
Well, that would be awesome, yes. That would be just great. If there is a producer, please come and I will work with you and we'll make a series. Absolutely. It could be a web series. It could be a television series or whatever. I'm all for it.
Yeah, and you never know where your material will end up in a few years. It's just amazing what the internet has created for everyone. And who might be listening right now, okay? Steven Spielberg is trying to find another book to base his next sci-fi movie after, and here we go.
That would be amazing.
Camilla Stein, Steven Spielberg. we'll make that happen. And Tony Kaye can have a small role. Because there's always room in any sci-fi for the DJ, the disc jockey.
And a good word goes a long way. That is so true, and thank you for saying that.
Well, we're so fortunate at Artist First Radio to be in the company of great people that are enthusiastic about their careers, have made positive contributions in their field of expertise, and are giving back now at this phase of their life, like you are, by being our guest. And I welcome all of our listeners, college students getting ready to go back. Those who will be listening to this broadcast a year or two from now, be sure to share its contents and visit the websites. You won't be disappointed, especially if you're into sci-fis and alien worlds. And Camilla, thank you for writing it in such a fashion you can actually read it and understand. That's so important. I think some authors get involved in their characters, and then you lose. The only one who understands is the writer.
oh my goodness! Yes, I recognize that. I'm working on a second novel, a bigger novel than Space Scrapers, and it has it's a different genre. It's a science fiction political espionage thriller, and it's so complicated even for me. But I've mapped everything out. But the characters, they're under my skin. And I sure hope I do justice to the book and to my reader and make it all, you know, digestible in the end. But that's work in progress. As for Space Scrapers, that was such a fun to work on. I have to say, I drafted the characters. I used a cinematographic approach because I initially imagined the whole story as a set of shots. You know, I was just looking at a movie, actually, and that's why the book is so well paced, I would say, maybe even too fast for some readers. That's what I was told by some readers, but it also gives you the idea of how quickly things can develop in a futuristic society where there is a lot of technology in place, and this is hard science fiction, I must say. Space Scrapers is hard sci-fi. It's something that is scientifically based. I did my research. I invented gadgets. Actually, you can see them on Space Scrapers WordPress blog. There's a page there dedicated to technology, and I have biopunk and cyberpunk technology, and I have invented also all kinds of alien technology, some really freaky stuff that freaks people out, but it's so cool, even for me as a writer, when I stepped away from the book for a while, and then I came back to it, I look at it, and I'm enjoying it, and I really hope that my reader enjoys it too.
Well, absolutely, and that's the next phase of any author's desire. Wow, I have this fabulous book. I've given 5 or 6 or 10 years of my life, and I really have something to contribute that's unique and well-founded. How do I get the message out? How do I tell people worldwide about how exciting this project has been and Space Scrapers, a readable book? So, audience, go to Amazon, the websites that we've pointed out, and get your copy. And once you do, you'll want to buy several more great birthday, holiday gifts, Christmas, so forth. So, any time is a good
and
time.
Space Scrapers has a bonus. There's a short story attached to this book. It's called Gaia's Children, and it's a totally different kind of story. It's very lyrical. It's also science fiction, and it's a free bonus that I'm giving to my readers who buy Space Scrapers.
Oh, wow. What fun. Now, are there other websites that we should be aware of? Do you want to?
I haven't designed a centralized website for all my work. I have just a few blogs because I'm just everywhere. You know, I have a large network. I am on Facebook, on Twitter, and I have three WordPress blogs. I needed to move fast when I was working on Space Scrapers, and WordPress was available. So that's just how it came about. But just Google my name, Google Space Scrapers, Google Gaia's Children, and you'll find it.
Where in the process of compilation did the title Space Scrapers emerge?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, initially I thought about a different title, but it didn't sound well. It was just too bland and too plain, I would say. Scrapers. Where you see the characters? They're no heroes. They are quite ordinary, actually, and they have a darker side of themselves. And one of the things that they do, they actually kind of scrape the far corners of space, where they can find, artifacts, some valuables from other civilizations that perished, and they use this, they sell this stuff to people who are willing to, or corporations even, who are willing to pay a higher price for remnants of technology, alien technology, or some piece of knowledge, some piece of whatever valuables they can find. And in my mind, it kind of looked like they're scraping, you know, like they're kind of, you know, going from one place to another, and plundering it, if you wish. And then I thought, okay, and they're doing it in space, so I put those two words together and kind of represented to me the identities of those three main characters in the book, and so I just went for it.
It lends itself to age, or as we would count it, a long, long period of time.
Yes.
How do you deal with that topic of hundreds or thousands of years in their evolution, their history?
I have no problem with that. I designed a timeline of events supposedly happening in the future. And I just see it happen, you know, in my mind. And I don't know. Maybe that's just how my brain works. I have absolutely no problem imagining us as a human race evolve into a different race, or just being ourselves, in the next 2,000-3,000 years and more. Maybe because I was exposed to Asimov's classics, the Foundation series, at an early age, and it just stuck with me, you know. And he is exploring the same time frame, and he goes really far into the future, 10,000 years into the future and more. And I thought, okay, maybe this is where I draw from, and so I don't really have a problem, because my mind just goes around all those ideas, and like I said, there's no limit.
And you're right, you know, you can do so much more if you say, okay, humanity 10,000, 25,000 years from now has morphed into this other technological being that can traverse the universe and actually know that there are alien beings and interact with them in an intelligent fashion.
They are interacting with them in Space Scrapers. The main characters, they have encounters with a very bizarre alien race, non-humanoid, actually non anything that we know. You know, they're non-biological, actually, because they're like strings, very specific. They have a very specific design, and I can put it in a few words. They are made of plasma, and they exist in an alternative universe, and that universe, our universe, the way we see it, it's dark. You know, there's like the space is actually dark. And the universe that I pictured for those alien beings, it's light. It's just light. They dwell in light. I don't know. It's just a fancy thing that I just figured, okay, let it be. It might be interesting to explore how this could exist. So, yes, and there is a way for these beings to interact with humans. And this is what's happening with Space Scrapers. And I think it's fascinating because the way it's written in the book, it just is very vivid and very descriptive in a way that you can feel what those beings feel and what a human person feels when interacting with them.
I believe our guest, Camilla Stein, is a secret physicist, and she's she has really tapped into something that we'll all ultimately become. So
a little bit of physiology.
Once you're into the storyline of Space Scrapers, is there a way to get out? I mean, how do you come back to reality, or what we call reality?
I think it's pretty realistic what's written in Space Scrapers, because the main characters are, very real. They are no heroes, like I said before, and they have very, they have personalities that you can actually connect with. They have problems of their own, bugs of their own. You know, there are things that go on through their heads that are not so noble, you know, and thoughts that they entertain and how they need to overcome their darker nature, you know. And everybody can connect to that because every day we face these, you know, decisions between good and bad, you know, and we have to deal with, give and take and these kind of things. And that's what is happening to the main characters in Space Scrapers. And that's why I think that, you know, when the story ends, you kind of still remain on Earth. You kind of still remain who you are and connected to those characters because they are, in a way, a reflection of who we are and who we can be in the future. And it's still very much very recognizable because, you know, the psychology, human psychology, doesn't really change. We are who we are. We will continue being human, you know, because that's just the way we're built. And that's the exit of Space Scrapers. Well, there's supposed to be a sequel. Well, that's a big secret, but I'll just say that.
Yeah, the saga sequel continues. My God, you can't leave us with one.
No. There's a sequel on the way. Actually, I drafted the storyline, and I submitted it to my literary agent, and I got a green light, but I just stopped because I needed to move away a little bit so I could get more perspective into what the next book could be about, what the adventures could be, because I don't want to give a very shallow narration. I want a quality product on the book market, and that's why I'm stepping away from the book for a while until I gain more perspective on what I want to see in the next, in the sequel of Space Scrapers, so that is also something satisfactory for my reader.
Special thanks from Tony Kaye to Deb Nichols for coordinating all the details and bringing our guest, Camilla Stein, author of Space Scrapers, to Artist First Radio. What a fabulous time you're having with this book.
Thank you.
And what's your plans? Are you traveling the continent, the globe? Where will we find you next promoting the book?
Maybe in Toronto. That was the talk today.
All right. That's not far from here.
I'm working with a charity organization in Canada, and I'm doing the European outreach, but there are plans of doing a lot of work in Toronto, and who knows? I am traveling, but that's just because I have a lot of things going on in my life, work-related and family-related, and I come from a very international family. So maybe that's why Skyscrapers is so international, because it reflects my own background, my own experience. Yes, but Toronto is next.
Camilla, you're always giving back, Women's Foundations, Autism. Have you associated a portion of the proceeds of this book to go to any of your causes?
Actually, I did, yes, and I ran a fundraiser on my birthday. So a part of the proceeds goes to the A Celebration of Women Foundation Incorporated in Toronto. That's the charity that I work with. Currently, this charity is working very hard on establishing educational facilities in Pakistan and in Africa, and actually in several other countries that require our interference, our help. We work to educate young women, girls, to give them access to computers, technology, education that can be obtained through internet in places where they otherwise do not have access to academic knowledge of any level at all. And that's what the organization is working hard to do, to launch this project. And that's why I support them, and that's why I give a part of my earnings through Skyscrapers and other writing to them.
How rewarding, and you're enjoying that association and getting a lot accomplished.
Yes, I am enjoying this. This is something I've been doing for a long time. I've worked with different nonprofit organizations. I'm actually consulting nonprofits, and it's something that I know and I do, and I love. It's just a great thing to do. And that's what I tell people. You know, when you don't know what to do with your life, go do some charity, you know. It's a good thing to do.
Have you been successful at partnering with other famous personalities to gain recognition to these causes and hopefully bring funds?
We are working on it. There are some very famous people working, but they do not want to be named because, you know, the best of charity is done in silence.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we understand that entirely, and we support the arts on Artists First Radio, and we've had many benefactors over the years to help us achieve that objective of providing quality content to our listeners worldwide. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and especially for sharing this show with everyone you know. You're moving into an area now where publicity, that's a big part, right? I mean, you have to do book signings and arrange interviews such as this. Have you thought about where you're heading? I mean, you're going to Toronto. Will you be in bookstores? Do you have anything lined up while you're there?
I don't think I will be with Skyscrapers. I want Skyscrapers to be on Kindle. Initially, this was a Kindle-only project, actually, because, well, I kind of thought that, you know, save the trees, think about all those, expenses that go into a printed book, into publishing a printed book. And so, yes, Skyscrapers initially was a Kindle-only project, electronic book in any way.
Well, there are so many UFO websites out there. That would be a great place to promote your book. A little banner, get your message out there to the true UFO fans.
Could be. I have not explored that yet. I've been only trying to talk to readers and in science fiction book clubs and just doing some giveaways of e-books. Well, there's a paperback available since recently, also on Amazon, but I do not really advertise it that much because, like I said, I am working on a bigger novel, which I think might end up in bookstores. It depends on how the publishing industry will work in the next couple of years, because as you know, there's a lot of consolidation going on, there's lots of changes going on in the publishing industry, and printed media is still there, but you don't know whether it will be there in a couple of years. So maybe we'll just stay on electronic platforms. Maybe printed media will die out, who knows, but maybe we'll still have paperbacks and hardbacks. It's just something, you know, let me just first finish writing the book, and then we'll see where it will be.
There you go. I mean, you just published a book. Now it's, oh, you better write the second one. You should have three or four of them lined up, you know, just in case.
Yes, that's true. I have so many things to say, so many stories to tell, and I'm just so happy I have the craft and I can, you know, I can channel all that. It's beautiful.
Now, are you communicating on the social network? Tell us about how that's working out.
It's working just fine. I have to say that I did a podcast just two or three weeks ago, speaking to on the same subject about social media and how it works for authors. So I can tell you just right off the top of my head that this is, you know, this is a very big thing today. It's been so for several years. And authors cannot survive without social media today, because, well, even when you go to a traditional publisher, requires of you to have a platform from where you talk to your readers, to your fans, where you market your book, where you promote your book in different ways, and you do giveaways, and you do all other kinds of, you know, readings. Just being creative is also a part of self-promotion. And even in traditional publishing, self-promotion is essential, because that's what is required today. Just because there's a lot of opportunity for authors on the Internet. Everything happens on the Internet. We're all connected. We have mobile devices. We have, you know, Internet at home connections. We cannot survive without Internet today. We start our day with checking the weather online, checking Facebook updates, then we go on Twitter and we just chat some things away, some lovely things like hello world, what a wonderful weather is today on Mars. You know, when Curiosity landed, actually there was a total blast on social media, and NASA websites were down for a while, because, you know, there were so many visitors, and you can get the idea of how many people are, you know, connected through the Internet. So, you know, we cannot do anything else other than sit on the Internet all day and just, you know, connect with each other and talk about what we do with our writing, our messages, and our projects and everything. It works just fine for authors, but authors need to invest their time, invest in effort, and just keep being active. If you slow down for a while, you'll be forgotten. That's my experience. So I'm still here. I'm talking to my fans, to my readers, and I plan on doing this in the future.
Also, you translate.
So yes, I do.
Any thought to that? The book Space Scrapers in Spanish or
Russian.
French?
We thought about going to Russia. My agent just told me, okay, why not? And we've been exploring this opportunity, but we kind of let it sit for a while because, like you said, I need to translate, and I've been working on a different project, so the translation project for Space Scrapers was frozen for a while. But we've been really thinking about going to Russia, because Russia has a very strong base of science fiction fans, and they read a lot. They read from all over the world. They read translations. They read original work, and they're interested in all kinds of very, fantastic ideas. Doesn't matter how weird, it's just all fascinating and interesting.
And it adds 25 pages to the manuscript.
Maybe. Text expansion, that's one part of the translation work, you know, that the text gets that are in different languages. Well, so for Russian, yes, sure, that would be a bigger book.
I know. German,
a bit same pricier.
Thing. Yes.
Oh yes, German too. Yes, they have quite nice sentences. That's true.
So the books can get pretty big translating from, say, sure. English, where you know two only has three possibilities. Camilla Stein, thank you for joining and sharing. This international flair is something that you've come to from your family, and you bring that to bear in your material, and I believe apropos, because we are becoming a society where we really aren't concerned if you're from the Netherlands or Canada or America or some third world country that I haven't named. It really doesn't matter. It's a global community.
Sure. And if we're losing that. Mm-hmm. That's true. I think we're losing boundaries, you know, no borders, and I think that's a really great thing. It's just very empowering.
Well, yeah, I mean, and of course, literature and film and music all are expressions of those sure. changes. That
and they contribute to the whole, this, I don't know, this just a blast of awareness suddenly that we are all one, you know, one.
Yeah,
one
I mean, who wasn't watching the London Olympics?
Well, true, yeah, right. I yes, mean, that is amazing.
It really is. So the same, of course, is true for every author out there promoting their book on the internet. And you have to do it. And really, there are certain limitations all of us have. And that's where having a good staff of people that you believe in and believe in you to get the details taken care of.
Yes, that is true. Good but, management. Mm-hmm.
But the internet is huge, and having your book as an e-book is magnificent. And congratulations, and thank you for bringing it all together and for supporting the arts on Artist First Radio Network. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone worldwide. Be sure to visit the artistfirst.com homepage frequently. We have guests coming on every day that'll just open the mind of possibilities and enrich your life. Thousands of hours available free on demand in MP3 format. So stick and stay, find your way around, and be sure to share the content with everyone you know. Camilla Stein, this area of writing, do you think that it'll become a bigger part of your life? Really? I mean, do you think you'll be pushing some things aside to do more writing?
Oh, I hope not. I really hope not. I've been juggling this whole thing. I have works developing on four fronts, I think, at the moment, and I really do not want to let something go for the writing. But I don't know. I just love writing so much. So I hope I can consolidate, you know. I am working for a publisher right now, Glagoslav Publications. It's an international publisher of Slavic fiction. And they do translations, you know. They bring Russian books to America in the English language. And I write, I edit, I translate, I help them in other ways, do promotions and everything. And that's one of the examples of consolidation, you know, how you can, you know, put together all your experience and talents and your writing. This is the best thing that I know how to do. I hope I will be able to do it as a science fiction writer in future. I really do not want to, you know, have to give up one part of my life for the sake of another. So, fingers crossed. Everything will be just fine.
Now, what's the air time from the Netherlands to Toronto? 3 hours?
I don't know. Really have no idea.
Well, I just wanted to know what you'll be doing.
Okay. Well,
writing.
writing, yes. Okay, and the planes will take care of the rest.
Yeah, that's right. You won't even know you've landed.
No.
Well, that's tremendous. Have a great time in Canada. We have a tremendous audience all over Canada and have for a couple of decades now.
As
a matter of fact,
that.
One of our streaming providers at one time originated out of Toronto, Canada.
Oh, wow. So, Canada has some really awesome science fiction readers and science fiction filmmakers. If you remember Stargate Atlantis, the whole Stargate project was
done
in cooperation with Canada and Canadian filmmakers, and that was just awesome. Canadian actors, Canadian contribution, it was just great, and also very international. If you remember Atlantis, if you're a fan of Atlantis, I am, and so I watched every episode, so I know they're very international, truly inspirational. So yes, hello Canada. Canada science fiction readers, please read Space Scrapers. I'll be so happy to have you as my readers.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the home of Captain Kirk.
True. That is so true. Yes, yes.
Another Canadian.
Yes, yes. Another Canadian in science fiction. And what a man. What a personality. He created a wonderful character. And it's just unforgettable, isn't it? It's just, you know, it defines a lot of science fiction today, actually, Star Trek. It's just so epic and so... just wonderful.
That's why I was so fascinated at the beginning of the interview. You brought up all of this neat gadgetry, the technology
yes.
that you were able to pull together and incorporate. And that's very much what Star Trek and Star Wars and other popular television shows did.
Very much.
But that all came from someone writing it.
Yes, yes, true. Some wonderful screenwriters who just designed all of that. Yes, yes. In their mind first, and then they put it into words, and everybody just, you know, there's a phaser, there's a, I don't know what else they have there. I'm just, you know, so excited to have all that, you know, explosion of creativity that's happening in science fiction, both on screen and in writing, in the printed books and electronic books. You know, there are also short stories that writers write and just, you know, give it to the public for free, and then, you know, you just read on blogs and on websites, and it's just amazing because you can get a feel of how writers actually visualize the future through technology, and they can, you know, build some interesting connections into how we can develop technologically, or actually, you know, the opposite. Sometimes, you know, this happens too. There are speculations about us going backwards, you know, but, you know, we're just doing our best as human race to, you know, be the best we can.
Well, you know, as in any translation, it's best if you can to live in that country to absorb the ambiance and understand the cultural and the slang and all of the things that are going on, even demographically, maybe in one region that's not happening in other regions when it comes to thought and development.
That takes a lot from the translator, that's true. Another way of doing this is to work in international groups or organizations, and that's what I did. I consulted and worked with international charity organizations, and we really had a lot of people from different countries, so I got to interact with a lot of different people, the Japanese, the Russians, you know, the people from all over the world, and it was just, it's just wonderful. And you, it's also another way of learning the culture and practicing your translation skills, interpreting skills, because you get to meet people who bring their culture with them, and you know they are your doorway into another culture. So you don't necessarily have to pay high prices for tickets and accommodation to go to another country and stay there and live there and experience everything. You can do it in other different ways. And speaking of internet, today translators engage in discussions online and truly come together internationally on the cyberspace, on websites designed for translators, where we can discuss issues. You know, we can do conferences, online conferences, which is also very cost efficient. So yes, like I said, technology makes so many things possible, also for translators today.
The programs available for translators.
True.
You know,
the
thesaurus, the capability of finding the right word to express the image, the thought, the feeling that you want to convey with the passage.
Programs are good, but they are still, you know, technologically challenged, and there needs to be a lot of improvement because, well, linguistically speaking, translation is still very much a psychological process, and a program, you know, cannot really reflect that, although, you know, the idiomatic character of human speech. But they still, okay, I'm talking like a linguist right now, but like I said, programs are great, but you still need the human input to make things happen in the translation. So that's just something I wanted to say.
Camilla Stein, thank you for being with us this hour on Authors First. Tony Kaye in the studio. It's been my privilege to introduce you to everyone. Thank you for being with us, audience. Very kind. Be sure to read the book, share the contents with everyone you know. And before I let you go, anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to or closing remarks?
I just want to say thank you very much for having me on the show, and I hope that you enjoyed this conversation, and I hope we talk again in another setting. And I just want to say hello to everybody who's listening, and, you know, just have a great time, be yourself, enjoy life, and read science fiction. It will totally blow your mind away. There's no limits for human race.